Hey there, my name is Eric Olson. I'm the CEO of Array Digital and the host of Marketers Anonymous. You're about to hear from some of the best minds in marketing today. Find out more about the podcast, our guests, and our in-person meetups at marketersanon.com. And now, on to the show.
In this episode of Marketers Anonymous, we bring you back to a Marketers Anonymous Norfolk meetup from January 18th, where Eric talks about the evolution and future of voice and marketing today.
In the beginning, we had voice. That's all we had. And in doing research for this talk, I found out that scientists believe that voice communication started between 50,000 and 100,000 years ago. So we've been living with voice for hundreds of thousands of years, at least tens of thousands of years. Fast forward to somewhat modern times, and we still use voice as the primary means of communicating. That is up until we started to have text, right? So once we had the printing press, people started to communicate widely and through mass communications through books. So it was a different form of communication. The printing press came out roughly 450 years ago, right? But 100,000 years of oral communication, 450 years of print communication, and fast forward to the 80s, maybe the 90s for most of us, and now all of a sudden the computer comes out, right? So for the last 30 years or so, maybe 40 years, people have been using computers. They've been banging on a keyboard in order to communicate with one another. Fast forward even more, and this is what I see when I look out right now, right? Half of you are probably sending text messages, you're on Instagram, you're doing something, and you're using your thumbs to communicate with people. All right, so we have this history as human beings of communicating orally for 100,000 years, and in the last few years, we now use our thumbs more than anything to communicate with anybody. So this is a timeline of the modern era. All right, so this is basically from the internet onward. 1995 is when Internet Explorer came out. That's when the real web era kind of started. If you back up even a year before that, Amazon launched in 1994. So we're talking about, 25 years, if I get the math right? And about 25 years we've had the internet. Fast forward roughly 10 years from then, the iPhone comes out in 2007. And then 12 years from that, we're in the present day. Now, I remember when the internet came out. Right, I'm 46 years old. I'm old enough to remember. I was telling Kevin this before the talk. I remember when Home Depot didn't have a website. And I was actually trying to pitch them to create their website. Little did I know that I had no chance whatsoever. But there was a mad scramble for about 10 years for businesses and basically everybody to get on the internet. Fast forward to 2007, the iPhone comes out, the paradigm changed overnight. Another 10-year period, a mad scramble for people to get mobilized, right? Mobile apps, mobile responsive web pages. Well, that's pretty much subsided, and if it hasn't, you're kind of a relic. I'm looking at Chuck because we know that the city of Chesapeake has got some mobile responsive web page issues, but you'll know those soon. So a lot of the work to get online, to turn online into mobile web pages and to get that data out through phones is pretty much done. And people are wondering what's next. Well, if you're like me, you don't use your thumbs quite as much as you used to. You use your voice. As a matter of fact, well, I say that, but I was just at a conference and I was using my thumbs a lot to the point where I don't even want to use it because my thumb is literally sore right now. So I try to use the voice whenever I can. And this is very prevalent. As a matter of fact, it was just like 2 days ago that this news came out. Does anyone know about Pandora being voice enabled now? So that was kind of a big deal. And apparently it's a pretty nice system. I don't use Pandora myself, but apparently you can use your voice to do things like create or play playlists, skip, all that kind of stuff. Apparently it's a new feature, right? That was pretty big news like 2 days ago. And then you've got just a ton of smart speakers. I know personally I have Amazon Echoes. No, they don't light up, all right. I have Amazon Echoes in my office. I've got it in my house. I've got it on my phone. I've got a Google Home. I've got a Google Home Hub. I've got it in my phone, Google on my phone, right? I mean, I've got a lot of different voice assistants that I can choose from. And I really do have a choice now. This is the timeline for voice. So I'm going to go pretty deep into voice because I just came back from this conference. I'll talk about that in a second. But all we talked about was voice, voice assistants, and voice technology. So as you can see, Siri and Apple were the front runners here. That came out in 2011. And fast forward a couple of years to 2016 when Google really got into this game at 2016. Along the way, we had Amazon, right? We had Microsoft. Surprisingly, Microsoft Cortana, you can use Alexa now in that, which is super surprising to me. So they've really kind of seeded the voice market over to Amazon. All right, so this is the conference that I came back from. It was called AlexaConf. As you can see, it was in Chattanooga. They have the, I think, the nation's fastest broadband service. That's their kind of claim to fame right now. Yeah. CIO, CTO shaking his head, yeah. It wasn't that fast in the convention center, though. I was kind of disappointed. Yeah. It was sponsored by Amazon, but we talked a lot about other technologies like Microsoft, like Google. This slide really jumped out at me, as you can see. I ripped this off from the CEO of VoiceBot. He actually sent me his slide deck because I wanted this slide so bad. I'm going to use a couple of his other slides as well. But this is how long it took for these technologies to get to 50% penetration with the general market. So computers, what this is showing you is computers took 20 years to get to not even 50%, right? Over here we're at about, I don't know, 30%. So it took 20 years to get 30% penetration, right? Internet, 20 years to get to, I don't know, call that 40%. Radio tapped out at 50%, somewhere between 15 and 20 years, right? But go to the left now and you look at your smart speakers, very rapid adoption, right? Much more rapid than was actually predicted just a couple of years ago. So even faster than the smartphone, right? And we love our smartphones, right? But these smart speakers, we're using them. Now, how do we use them? This chart shows you a lot of different data. This one didn't come from the actual conference. This came from just some online research. But we use them for lots of different ways. As you can see, mostly it's playing music. When I go to my Echo at home, I'm pretty much telling it to do one of two things, play music or play the flash briefing, which I'll get into in a minute. Obviously, weather is a big one. If you don't have one, by the way, just curious, show of hands, who's got one of these? Any device, any smart device, all right. And then who uses these on a regular basis? All right, so a decent number of people, cool. All right, so this isn't foreign at all. Where people use voice assistants. This one was pretty surprising to me because the majority of the people that use voice assistants use them in the car. The car is the next frontier for voice assistants. So Amazon is racing to get a product into the car. So is Google. I think they each have their own flavor of a product at this point. I know Kevin got a new truck recently, and you've got, what, Google? Yeah, pretty cool. So I wish that my 2016 had one button for Google and one for Amazon, but it doesn't. I have to use my phone. All right, so flash briefings. Who here, did I already ask this? Who uses a flash briefing? Okay, maybe a quarter of the people, all right? I'm kind of surprised. So what a flash briefing is you can get news that is streamed into your smart speaker, in particular your Echo, and you can subscribe to lots of different news feeds. So what I have here is a whole bunch of different news feeds. The major news outlets provide flash briefings. It's free forever, and all you have to do is say, play my flash briefing. And it just goes from the first one that you selected to the next one until it's done. I use it every single morning, right? So it's usually when I'm making my breakfast, right? If I can't finish it when I'm making my breakfast, then I use my phone as I'm taking a shower. I've got it playing like right over my head, which is kind of ridiculous, but it's very useful to me, right? So I make sure that I get my flash briefing in. Flash briefings, as you can see by this chart, have grown pretty fast. Now, this chart is something that I put together because I couldn't find it anywhere. and I had to go back in time to find a couple of data points, in particular these first two data points. I wasn't thinking about flash briefings or anything like that at the point, so I had to go back to news articles. I could only find just a little bit of data in a couple of articles that said how many flash briefings there were at that time. Amazon doesn't publish this, which is really strange. They don't publish things like how many Echoes they've sold. For a company that has so much data, they keep a lot of it to themselves. They don't publish what the growth rate is or how many active flash briefings there are. But you can see, that's kind of like a hockey stick, right? There's something going on here to the point where, if you look at podcasts, an opportunity to be a podcaster versus a flash briefing person or someone that creates a skill, it's a much smaller market, right? So if we back up a couple of slides, we saw that smart speakers are being adopted extremely quickly, but there aren't a lot of people that are jumping on something to say on the smart speaker, which is what a flash briefing is, right? A lot of people have already started podcasts, and by the way, I hear two-thirds of podcasts are inactive now because it's just hard. It's just hard to produce content on a weekly basis. Kevin's a podcaster. Is it hard?
It's very hard.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Yep. And you've been at it for like 3 years, right?
2.5, yeah.
Yeah. So at some point, you got to think, I've had enough, right? And well, two-thirds of the people have had enough. Flash briefings, they're supposed to be quick. 2, 3, 4 minutes. This is a comparison of visually in blue how many podcasts there are versus how many flash briefings. Right? There's an opportunity here. So much so that we launched our own flash briefing. Right? So I said before it's a podcast / flash briefing. It's built and intended to be a flash briefing, which is also available as a podcast.
Hey, Aaron, could you maybe divert a little bit? What's the fundamental difference between podcast and flash briefing?
All right, so they're both audio files, right? A flash briefing can be text-to-speech using the Alexa voice, but most of them are actual someone speaking. Flash briefing can be at most 10 minutes long. Usually, podcasts are between 20 and, say, 60 minutes. Some of them are really long, right? So there's a slight difference there. The intent is to be, generally speaking, newsworthy, right? In the marketing space, a lot of these flash briefings are news. So there's one guy that I met yesterday. He has a flash briefing called Instagram Stories. So he talks about the news that happened yesterday in Instagram, which means he has to record it that morning or the evening before, like super timely, right? It's difficult. There's a lot of flash briefing folks, creators, that are doing tips and tricks and doing news, and that's mostly what you get. I wanted to do something different, so I'm chronicling our journey at Array Digital and how we're trying to grow the business through marketing techniques, right? Everything I've talked about in the last couple slides is all about Amazon because I just came back from an Amazon conference, right? But this chart actually shows you that Amazon is small potatoes in this game, right? If you want to actually conquer voice assistants, that's where the money's at, Google, right? So for those that are having a hard time seeing it, well, I'm having a hard time seeing it. Alexa, 100 million devices. So that's recent news. 100 million devices are out in the wild. Alexa, stop. I'm going to use that in a second. She's listening. But there's actually bigger markets out there. All right, so coming back from the conference, I talked to a lot of vendors, and what I want to do is just show you a couple things that I learned about voice assistants and the different kinds of products that are being developed. The first one that I learned about was called PrivaKey. What PrivaKey is trying to solve is a way for you to use your voice to create secure transactions. Think about things like paying your mortgage bill through the device, right? So it's going to have to verify you somehow, or validate who you are, right? What if I just record Kevin's voice, right? or I look at all of his recordings over time and I piece it together, and then I have a recording that I put up to the Echo, right? They have to be able to guard against that. So they're coming out with different ways of doing it, and the way that they have right now is it actually sends a notification to the thing that you have on you all the time, your phone, right? And then you use your biometrics, like your fingerprint, to finalize the transaction. I think it's a stopgap measure, but the goal here is to use your voice to be able to do secure transactions, right? Pay your mortgage, buy insurance, make stock trades, things like that.
So essentially dual authentication?
Effectively, yeah. Yeah, two-factor authentication, yeah. Yeah. All right, the next one is called voice metrics. And I wish I had, I should have put a zoom in here. Voice metrics is a company that all they do is voice, as you can tell by their name. And what they're trying to do is provide metrics to businesses about how their business is performing. Down here, what this is saying is the human asks, how's business? And the response is, good morning, Teresa. Here's your business briefing. Sales yesterday were $7,500 and we had 15 new signups. Monthly recurring revenue is $218,000. Right. How do you get that information now? Either you don't get it, or you have to log into some secure portal or something, or usually the data's not even there. They're trying to consolidate all that through voice. This one I thought was really cool. As a matter of fact, I've got a whole bunch of postcards that they gave me. And they asked me to pass out. So if you guys are interested in this, grab one and pass it around if you would. This is called surveysbyvoice.com. They branded it as SurveyLine. And this allows you to take a survey using your voice, right? So instead of getting, what's the typical way that we do a survey now? That's email, right? Yeah, and I talked about email at a previous Marketers Anonymous. Does anyone remember the actual open rates for emails?
37%.
Yeah, it's 25 to 35%, right? If you're up in the 30s, you're lucky. So that means two-thirds of your actual work is just completely wasted right off the bat, right? So what we were talking about is using text systems instead, but people are moving into voice, right? They're adopting voice. A company like this wants to be at the forefront of that. So I want to ask all of you when you get back, am I going over?
Yeah.
All right, I got to do this demo. All right, so this is how you do it. Alexa, open survey line.
Welcome to Survey Line. Please say the name or code of the survey you wish to take, or say help.
Marketers Anonymous.
Hello, Marketers Anonymous. Are you ready to take a state-of-the-art survey using only your voice?
I typed all this in, by the way.
Okay, let's get started. This survey has three questions. Question number one.
You want answers?
On a scale of 1 through 10, how likely are you to recommend Marketers Anonymous to a colleague?
11. 1.
111 is not an option. Please listen to the question.
10.
Question number one. On a scale of 1 through 10, how likely
right.
are you
Alexa,
to recommend market?
Stop. All right, you get the point, right?
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I did the same thing, by the way. Yeah.
I don't keep going back, but through the news briefs, right?
Yeah.
Are they going to be commercials?
Well, they're short by nature, so it's difficult to stuff a commercial in, but you can. Yeah. So I listened to a couple of news flash briefings, and they inject their own commercials in there. But Amazon doesn't put commercials in. The individual flash briefing and media outlet puts it in there if they want. But it's not prevalent, put it that way. Right? And they're super short, just by nature.
How is Amazon monetizing the flash briefing?
It's a great question, because like this whole interaction here, I'm not paying for that on a monthly basis, right? I bought this thing one time, and now I can use their voice services basically forever. I don't think they're monetizing it directly,
yeah. Yeah.
But I also did just use that to order paper towels recently.
Like your voice is the product for Amazon?
Possibly, yeah. But I use Gmail for free, right? What's the product there? All my personal data that I've already given up, right? I want to do this. If you have one at home, it's a little creepy actually. There's a new mode called Whisper Mode. you can whisper to it, it'll whisper back. All right. Yeah, well, especially in that scenario. Yeah, when baby's sleeping. All right, so lots of takeaways. The internet land grab is over. Mobile land grab is over. There's something coming up. There always is, right? And we're accelerating this pace. Think about that chart with smart speakers being adopted to 50% within a few years. This is happening, all right? So think about how you can add voice to your business today. All right, thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Have a question about marketing? Let us know and we may answer it here. Reach out at marketersandon.com. See you next time.